Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A news hour, transatlantic cables come to a complete stop, and music hath chance to soothe the savage beast, but not in Vienna. It's August 1922.
100 years from today.
World News update in Canton in southeastern China. One of the deadliest typhoons ever, perhaps the deadliest, has made landfall at the town of Suatow. 10% of the municipality's population is reported dead. Many ships are wrecked and some of them have been blown more than 2 miles inland. Entire villages have been destroyed and initial estimates of those killed range from 60,000 to 80,000. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues during Lord Curzon's present illness. The former British Prime Minister, the Earl of Balfour, is acting as Foreign Secretary and has sent a formal note to 6 of the British Empire's debtors, France, Italy, Romania, Portugal, Greece, and the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes, regretting that it has no choice but to collect the war debts of its allies in order to pay its own war debts to the United States. Lord Balfour pointed out that these American debts were incurred on behalf of its allies because Washington was not prepared to lend continental nations except upon the security of His Majesty's government. This has caused fury in Washington, where the Treasury Secretary Andrew Mellon is reported to have denounced the note as a, quote, lie intended to make the U.S. government greed and unwillingness to give up the debts the principal obstacle to global economic recovery. The Treasury has said the British note will have no effect whatsoever on American policy, although it has certainly added to the chill at the Allied Conference on War Reparations just opened in London. In Germany, the theoretical physicist Albert Einstein has left the country due to threats on his life by the same group who assassinated the foreign minister, Walter Rathenau. General Ismail Enver became the Ottoman Empire's Minister of War and Chief of the General Staff and one of the ruling triumvirate known as the Three Pashas, who governed Turkey during the war years. However, Enver Pasha fell out with Mustafa Kemal, was convicted in absentia for the massacre of Armenians, and found himself in exile, flitting from client to would-be client. Comrade Lenin dispatched him to the Bukharan People's Soviet Republic to put down the Basmachi Revolt, but Enver went over to the anti-Bolshevik rebels to pursue his dream of a pan-Turkic state. The seal he used on his official documents proclaimed him, quote, commander-in-chief of all the armies of Islam, son-in-law of the caliph, and representative of the prophet. He was killed in a surprise attack by the Red Army's Bashkir Cavalry Brigade of Armenian men. Details are murky. Some reports say Enver Pasha was leading his men into battle, gripping his Quran and charging straight ahead when he died either from machine gun fire or a direct sword thrust from the Armenian commander. His decapitated body was found on the field of battle and the Quran was pried from his fingers and is now said to be in the possession of the Bolshevik secret police. He was the last of the three Pashas, his two colleagues having been assassinated in Berlin. General Enver Pasha was 40. After 2 days of street fighting between socialists and fascists, martial law has been proclaimed in Genoa, Milan, Parma, Ancona, and Livorno. The Italian government claims the move is necessary because of the fascists' invasion and occupation of the San Giorgio Palace in Genoa. The movement's charismatic leader, Benito Mussolini, has now ordered his black shirts to demobilize. You don't need socialists and fascists to have a fight. Sometimes you just need music lovers and a piece by Anton Webern. At the Salzburg Festival, Herr Webern's 5 movements for string quartet caused fisticuffs among audience members, and a full-scale riot was only averted by the arrival of police. The work was abandoned, but a second attempt will be made before an audience of invitees only. Latvia has a new currency. For the last 3 years, it has used the rublis, the Latvian version of the ruble. Henceforth, its currency will be the lats, divided into 100 centimi. The last official act of the late Tsar of all the Russias, Nicholas II, was to make his cousin, once removed, Grand Duke Nicholas Nikolaevich, commander-in-chief of the Imperial Army. With the murder of the Tsar and so many of his immediate family by the Bolsheviks, succession to the throne has wandered rather far. Now the provisional Priamuri government in Vladivostok, led by White Army General Mikhail Dieterichs, has declared the Grand Duke to be the rightful Emperor of Russia. The Bolshevik government of the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic has promulgated an aliens decree specifying which Belarusians can become citizens of the new country. All former subjects of the Russian Empire who are at least 14 years old and permanent residents are allowed to apply, but citizenship can be denied to those who have defied the Bolsheviks.
All that are out of Ireland, let their happy feelings flow, like the old river channels flowing free.
The Cork is well and truly out of Erin, and the Irish Civil War continues. Irish Republicans are not having a good week. In a daring and imaginative raid, 1,500 troops of the incoming Irish Free State landed in ships at 3 ports in County Kerry to retake Munster and the surrounding area. The Free State does not yet have a navy, and the Royal Navy is sitting this one out, so Dublin has requisitioned passenger ferries such as the SS Lady Wicklow and is using them as troop carriers. More bad news for Republicans. Harry Bolland was the MP for Roscommon South in the House of Commons, though he never took his seat, and President of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. 2 Free State officers entered his room at the Skerries Grand Hotel and shot him. Mr. Bolland is dead at 35. And another setback for the Irish Republican Army. After 2 days of fighting, the Battle of Kilmallock has ended in a Free State victory.
Telegraph my baby, I need your money bad, indeed I do. Bolland is a very generous lady, he can always have for a few. I find the Western Union a convenience, no matter where I roam. I'll telegraph my baby, she'll send 10 or 20 maybe, then I won't have to walk back home.
I guess I'll have to telegraph my baby. Good luck with that if she lives across the Atlantic. Amidst multiple reversals, the IRA have at least brought transatlantic telegraph service to a standstill. A day after blowing up the commercial cable telegraph station at Waterville, County Kerry, and cutting most communications between America, the British Isles, and Europe, Irish Republicans have raided the Western Union station at Valentia Island near Port Magee and severed the four remaining cables linking the United States to Ireland. Transatlantic communication is still possible through the Western Union cable at Penzance in far western Cornwall, but traffic is now very crowded and telegraph rates have dramatically increased in cost. HMS Raleigh is a Royal Navy cruiser named after a great Englishman, Sir Walter of that ilk. It has proved a not-so-great ship. Commissioned just a year ago, it has run aground off Lance Amour, a small village in Labrador named by the French Lance Amour, the Cove of the Dead. Of the 800 crew of HMS Raleigh, 12 sailors are said to have drowned or died of hypothermia in the chilly Strait of Belle Isle. The House of Commons has voted to expel the MP Horatio Bottomley, editor of John Bull magazine and the member for Hackney South, after Mr. Bottomley's conviction in May on charges of fraud.
Yesterday I heard a lover sigh, goodbye, oh me, oh my. 7 times he got aboard his train, and 7 times he hurried back to kiss his love again and tell her, tut-tut-tutsie, goodbye. Tut-tut-tutsie, don't cry. The little choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how bad it makes me.
The choo-choo train Missouri Pacific Express number 4 has taken almost 36 people away from their loved ones en route from Fort Worth, Texas to St. Louis. At Sulphur Springs, the express crashed into a local train which had stopped to take on water. The locals' wooden coaches splintered and many passengers were then burned by steam from the number 4's engine. The train cars then rolled down an embankment into a creek where other passengers were drowned. Number 4's engineer, who is also dead, is rumoured to have failed to observe the stop signal because he was reading orders handed to him at an earlier stop. It is the worst railroad disaster in Missouri history. 34 are dead and just under 200 injured. We reported earlier this year on the Ku Klux Klan attack on a bootlegger in Inglewood, California, in which one of the attacking Klansmen, an Inglewood police officer, was killed. The trial of 37 Ku Klux Klan members is now underway.
Listen to me while I tell you of the spanger that blighted me life. Listen to me while I tell you of the man who stole my future wife. Was at the bullfight where we met him, enduring his daring display. And while I went out for some peanuts in a program, the dirty dog stole her away.
The heartthrob of the silver screen, Rudolph Valentino, plays a Spaniard who blights the life of his women in the dramatic new Paramount picture Blood and Sand. Following a tremendous premiere in Los Angeles, it is predicted to be one of the most successful pictures of the year.
Love her by radio, you will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio to the sound of Radio Drama, a Broadway of the airwaves. Station WGY of Schenectady, New York, has introduced a weekly broadcast of oral drama called the WGY Players. Its first presentation was The Wolf, a play by Eugene Walter, adapted into 3 episodes between the piano program and the soprano recital. If you were at Chicago's Lincoln Gardens this last week, you'll love the sound of that. There's a young man playing second cornet to King Oliver and his Creole jazz band. And if this jazz craze holds up, we think we'll be hearing more from him. Louis Armstrong. We have a new butterfly, a new type of skipper butterfly to be precise, a member of the Hesperioidea. The first specimen of the new skipper was discovered in Alabama by the entomologist W.C. Dukes, and there is now talk that it will be named for him. Should scientific progress be the preserve of nation states? The International Committee on Intellectual Cooperation, an organization of the League of Nations, has just held its first session to promote the sharing of research findings between different countries.
Take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, oh, buy me some peanuts and crackers, Jack. I don't care if I never get back.
In sports news, what a year St. Louis slugger Ken Williams is having. In April, he became the first man in American League Baseball to hit 3 home runs in a single game. Now he's surpassed himself. When the St. Louis Browns faced off against the Washington Senators, Mr. Williams became the first player to hit 2 home runs in a single inning. Would you like to take a ride on the Chocolate Express? That's what London taxi driver Arthur Partridge is calling his new independent bus service. Mr. Partridge is the first to challenge the municipal monopoly of the British Electric Traction and Underground Electric Railways. They are not happy about it.
Don't cry. The little choo-choo, the little train, that takes me away from you. No, no one can tell how sad it makes me.
Tootsie, goodbye again. Following the worst disaster in Missouri railway history, even more persons are dead in France following a collision between 2 trains carrying pilgrims to Lourdes. Between Agen and Tarbes, 2 trains bearing 500 passengers were climbing up the hill toward Tarbes when the first train found himself too heavily laden to climb the steep gradient and decided to return to Agen and ran backward down the hill straight into the second train. 40 people are dead and another 50 injured. Following the death of Pennsylvania Senator Philander Knox last year, William E. Crow was appointed to replace him in Washington. Now, less than a year later, Senator Crow is also dead at 52. On November 19, 1892, the Allegheny Athletic Association paid Ben Sport Donnelly $250 for 1 football game against the Washington and Jefferson Presidents team. Just a week earlier, the Allegheny Association had paid Pudge Heffelfinger $500. And so, with that $250, Mr. Donnelly became the second professional player in the history of American football. Ben Sports Donnelly is dead at 52. Nikolai Belolubsky was born in Kharkiv in the Ukraine and became the leading bridge designer in Imperial Russia, building over 100 bridges across the Tsar's domains. He is dead at 77. Katharina Schaven was a suffragist and a campaigner against Germany's state-regulated brothels. Ultimately, the campaign did not succeed, but it had a huge impact on German attitudes to prostitution. Fraulein Schaven is dead at 61. Rear Admiral Uriel Sebri led the successful mission to rescue Adolphus Greely and the survivors of the Lady Franklin Bay Arctic Expedition and subsequently became the second governor of American Samoa. He is dead at 74. The Russo-Japanese War is famed as the first in which a great European power was defeated by an Asiatic nation. Rear Admiral Nikolai Nebogatov was one of those responsible, surrendering his fleet to the Japanese Imperial Navy against the direct orders of the Tsar, and in consequence being stripped of all his titles and sent to prison. He is dead at 73. Malmgren was a successful journalist, publisher, and politician in Sweden. However, he may be better known for the construction of a huge hilltop castle named for himself, Tureborg Castle, with pillars and turrets and a secret passage. He built it without any architectural blueprints, using only postcards of German castles from the Rhine Valley. Mr. Malmgren is dead at 71.
Hello, Central, give me a Helen, for my mama's there. You can find her with the angels on the golden stair. Give me a bride, it's me who's speaking.
Hello, Central, give me heaven. That's the telephone number you'll need for Alexander Graham Bell, the ingenious Scotsman who in 1876 invented the telephone by placing the first call to his associate in an adjoining room and uttering the words, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you." Having invented the telephone, Mr. Bell refused to have one in his own study, regarding it as a terrible distraction. Now, almost half a century later, Alexander Graham Bell has died at 75 at Ben Vrier, his beloved home on the Cape Breton Peninsula in Nova Scotia. He will be buried atop the mountain of the estate. And at the conclusion of his funeral, every telephone on the North American continent will be silenced in honor of the genius who gave to the world the ability to speak directly man to man in defiance of whatever distance lay between. And that's the way of the world, August 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.